We begin chapter 8 in the Gospel of Mark. In chapter 6, Jesus multiplies the loaves and fishes for the Jewish people, more than 5,000 people. Now, two chapters later in chapter 8, he's multiplying loaves and fishes again for the Gentiles. He's no longer in Israel. He's in the Decapolis, out in Gentile territory. And so this is the second time he does this. It's also the third time we see in the Gospel of Mark where his heart is moved with pity for the people. It's the third time. Now, of course, all of this speaks of the Eucharist, taking bread, blessing it, breaking it, distributing it, multiplying and satisfying the hearts of the human heart. But I want to encourage us to see that this gospel still happens to us in our hearts and our souls throughout the day and where it happens. It says Jesus' heart was moved with pity for the crowd because he was afraid that they would collapse if he sent them home to get them their own food. He was afraid of that. Now, this Greek verb Mark uses here that is translated collapse on the way is used later by Paul and the author in the letter to the Hebrews in living the Christian life. So not just a physical thing anymore, being hungry and fainting because I don't have enough physical nourishment, but in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul says this: we must not grow tired of doing good, for we shall reap the harvest if we do not give up. And this do not give up is the same verb Jesus is used with do not collapse. In the letter to the Hebrews, the author says, when you're going through your struggles, consider how God endured the opposition of sinners in order that you may not lose heart. And this lose heart is the same Greek verb as collapse. And so what I'm proposing this morning, everyone, is this. What Jesus did for these people here, he does for you and me in those places where in doing the right thing, the good thing, we're getting ready to give up, where we're beginning to lose heart. And that's where he comes and does this. On a spiritual, mystical level, not just with physical nourishment. That's clear, right? I don't want to sit down yet. So I'm going to go to the first reading. It's Saturday. We've been going through Genesis, the book of Genesis. We've just gone through the fall, and now we're looking at the collateral damage. And the one thing I simply want to point out, the fundamental consequence of the fall, the fundamental reality, the fundamental problem, the fundamental cancer that has entered humanity, we see now in Adam and Eve. After the fall, here's what's going on in Adam and Eve. They have all kinds of thoughts about God. They're thinking about God a lot. They have all kinds of feelings about God. But they're hiding from him. They're not relating all these thoughts they have about God to God. And the first thing God does in response to the sin is try to engage them in the relationship again. Where are you? Where are you? Why are you hiding this from me? The fundamental disease that entered the soul of the human person because of the fall was the slowness to relate to God. To have all kinds of thoughts, but we just keep them to ourselves. All kinds of feelings, just keep them to ourselves. So let us bring them, especially those places where we're beginning to lose heart, beginning to give up, where the struggle is, that we make sure we bring that to the Lord so he may multiply and feed us with his presence.